Amen. Good morning, church. Good morning, church online. God bless you. What a day in the Lord it is. Amen. We're going to continue our series in Genesis. Today we're going to be looking at chapter 18. I'm going to encourage you to read all of the chapter. We can't address every single thing in chapter 18. There's so much good stuff in there. But I'm going to preach on the interaction between Abraham and God. That's what I'm going to have a main focus on. But I encourage you to read the rest of the chapter because it's just amazing, right? And I'm calling this the title of this sermon, Bold Enough to Ask. Bold Enough to Ask. So, have you ever sat in your car after a long day, after a hard, rough day, maybe a rough week, maybe a rough month, and you're sitting there with all the struggles in your life, and you know you should pray, but for some reason, you hesitate. A thought comes into your head at that moment. Would God even want to hear from me? Would God even want to hear from me? And maybe that thought is there because you say to yourself, I messed up too many times. I just keep messing up. Or maybe this is too big. Maybe the problem that I have is just way too big and I shouldn't present it. Or maybe it's too small, insignificant. Why should I bother God with this small thing, right? Or maybe I just shouldn't ask God about this particular thing, period. So instead of boldly coming to God in prayer, you quietly go away. Now, Genesis, the 18th chapter, we're going to see something. It's going to show us something. It's going to show us a flawed man, Abraham, a sinful man. And he comes boldly to God with some bold questions. As a matter of fact, some of us would be like, wow, the nerve of this guy, right? But we're going to look at that. Today we're going to look at that. Why was Abraham so bold? And instead of God rejecting him, God kind of draws him in. He draws him in despite Abraham's question. And that's because God, you have to understand that God is not pushing you away. God is inviting you in closer. God is inviting you in closer. He's never pushing you away. So let's pray. Father, open our hearts, all of us, open our hearts today. And where you find silence, where you find people unsure, Lord, just open their hearts today. Help us realize, get a better understanding that you're not pushing us away, but that you're drawing us in, that you want a relationship with us, Lord, and that we need to come to you with everything, Lord, because you are a loving Father. You are good, you are kind, you are compassionate, and you want to hear from us. So just bless us today. Open our hearts, and we pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so my first point, when we're going to get to go turn to Genesis, the 18th chapter, we're going to start in verse 1 and 2. We're going to start in verses 1 and 2. I titled this particular chapter, God Draws Near. So God draws near. So before Abraham even asks any bold question, before he comes to God, you're going to notice that God draws near. So I'm going to read this. The Lord, all caps, notice that for a second, appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. So Genesis, the 18th chapter, begins with something that you cannot miss. And most of the time, we just read past this. For those who are not aware, when you see the Lord in all caps, there's a reason for it. That's not a misspelling, right? You're going to see Lord in two different ways. Lord, all caps, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And then you're going to see Lord, capital L, small o, small r, small d. There's a premise for that. The reason is every time, the original Hebrew, every time you see the word Lord in caps, it is God's personal name. Well, a lot of people, the pronunciation is Yahweh. So when you see Lord there in all caps, it literally is saying, the Hebrew is saying Yahweh. This is the covenant name of God, the personal name of God. Now when you see Lord with the small O-R-D, that's Adonai. That is master, Lord. So again, we're going to see that in this chapter. We're going to see both spellings. But the very first thing I want you to understand is as we read this with all the caps of your translation right there, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that is God himself drawing near to Abraham. Now, don't misunderstand this. God can manifest in different forms. We've seen it when he meets Jacob and he wrestles with Jacob and he pops his hip. Right? That was the Lord. We've seen it when Moses was in Mount Sinai and God passed him. He showed him only his back because, again, in his full glory, no one can see God in his full glory, Scripture says, but God manifests himself, right? So we can see, we can engage with him. We know that God walked with Adam in the garden. So again, God manifests himself. So this scripture literally, now the writer, we believe, is Moses who wrote Genesis, right? So Moses is letting us know that this interaction, that one of these individuals, of these three, is God himself, Yahweh. So God is moving forward in relationship. He's drawing near to Abraham. And this is what happens with us. If you're a Christian, guess what? God draws near to you. You know how near he is? You have the Holy Spirit in you. You have God within you if you are a Christian. Every single day, God draws near to you. He wants to build that relationship with you. That's the kind of God we have. He's not just on a throne in heaven. No, no, he comes down. He lives with us. He's here, and he wants to build a relationship with us. So this is so important for us to understand that God draws near. So remember that. When Abraham met God, God drew near to him. He initiated it. He went to see Abraham, his child. His child. That's the God we have. So before Abraham ever asked anything boldly, guess what? God came close first. God always comes first to you. He loved you before you loved him. God always initiates, moves towards you first. Never forget that. And when we fully understand that, then we can come boldly to God. When we truly understand that, we can come boldly to God, right? So God draws near, Abraham responds. So now I want you to jump to verses 22 to 23. Verses 22 to 23. The men turned away and went towards Sodom. Now I want to say those two other are angels. We know that because in Genesis, the 19th chapter, literally says that they're angels, right? They're the ones who go to Sodom to destroy Sodom. And to save Lot. All right, so those are two angels. So the men turned away and went towards Sodom. But Abraham remained standing before the Lord, Yahweh. Then Abraham approached him. Abraham approached him and he said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked?" Now notice, right? Notice this. Abraham didn't run away because he was in the presence of God. He didn't hide. No, he approached the scripture. Now, don't get me wrong. Abraham knew who he was. He knew he was a sinful man. He knew he was a worm. We know that if you just turn to verse 27, in verse 27, he makes that statement. He says, then Abraham spoke up again. "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes." He knows he's nothing. He knows he's nothing. "I am nothing," he says. He knows who God is. He knows he is a holy God. And yet, he still speaks. And yet, Abraham still approaches. Why? Because a lot of people say, "Well, you know, I shouldn't. God's too great. Should I waste his time praying, approaching him, talking?" What? Don't do that. Because you have to understand, humility is not silence. It's not, humility is not silence, it's honest access to God. When you are humbled and you know your position, you can approach God in his greatness. You know your place. Abraham knew his place. That's why he can come to him. You don't want to stay silent. That's a mistake. Some people, they say, well, I got to be silent. It's a form of being humble. No, you know what happens when you become silent? You separate, you distance yourself from God. When you don't talk to God, you distance yourself from God. So the last thing you want to do is distance yourself from God. You want to talk with him. And let me say, there is a truth that you have to understand. That sometimes there's voices that you keep hearing saying, oh, don't pray about that. Don't pray about this. Don't bring that to the Lord. And let me tell you, that's not God. That's the enemy trying to break up your relationship. That's what that is. God wants to hear from you. He wants to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. He wants to hear from you. Think of it like this. You know a child? They're so innocent, right? You know when they do something wrong and they feel guilty, right? They may kind of stand at that doorway, kind of looking at you with those eyes, right? But they come forward. Even though deep inside they feel some guilt, you know why they still move forward? Because they say in their mind, they say, this is still my home. That's still my father and that's still my mother. I'm still loved. So I can approach them. I know that I messed up, but guess what? I can approach them humbly. And that's us. And that's Abraham. We can approach him. Look what Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Never forget this. Verse 15 to 16. Look at what God is telling us here. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let me tell you, Hebrews right here is reminding us, brothers and sisters, that we can approach God with confidence. You know why? It has nothing to do with our worthiness. It has to do with that he's worthy. When we understand that he's worthy, we can come to him in confidence. Because Jesus was tempted in every way. He went. He was half human. He experienced the human existence. He was tempted in every way. He knows how hard it is to be a human. It's hard. It's hard being a Christian. He knows that. And he gives us grace because of that. And he wants us to confidently come to him and pray for his mercy. That's awesome. That's powerful. You see, boldness is not arrogance. Some people think that Abraham was arrogant. No, he wasn't. His boldness has nothing to do with that. It has to do with, it's an invitation. He knows he's invited. God initiated it. He drew near. Now you're invited. Let's have that conversation, God. Let's do it. Let's meet. And when we do that, there's a certain way we need to do that when we come to God boldly. You have to be honest. You have to be honest. So look at verses 24 and 25 with me. What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike? Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? I mean, listen to that sentence there. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? Now, that's not a small question. That's a bold question. But you notice that God doesn't rebuke him here. God doesn't rebuke him. He engages with him, right? Because the truth is, God would rather hear your honest questions than your silence religion. You know, some people think it's better just to keep quiet. God's not, he doesn't want to be bothered with this. I'm just going to keep quiet. Stop that religious stuff. Stop that. God wants to hear from you. He. Let me tell you, your truth is never going to intimidate God. Do you know that? Your truth, whatever it is that you have on your heart, you think that God is intimidated by that? Of course not. We have a mighty God. We have a mighty God. So be honest with him. Bring everything to him. Bring your confusions. Bring your doubts. Bring your frustrations. God wants to hear it all. He wants to build a relationship with you. So come to him boldly. Be honest with what's on your mind. Because here's the main thing you have to understand. If you don't realize this, that God already knows what you're thinking. He knows everything. All those things that you're saying, I'm not going to bother him, but it's on your heart. Guess what? He knows it already. But he's inviting you to say it anyway. Because relationships are built on honesty. You have to be honest with God. Right? If you're not honest with God, you're not going to build a relationship. There's no relationship on earth that you could have without honesty, without truly expressing yourself. So God wants you to be honest. Bring it. Bring all your doubts, your confusion, your frustrations. Bring them all. He wants to hear it. Bring it to him. And sometimes the reason we don't bring all those frustrations and stuff is because sometimes we don't trust God's heart. But you got to trust God's heart. When you trust God's heart, then you'll be able to come to him with all the issues in your life. You'll be able to talk to him about anything because you trust him. So now we're going to look at Abraham and his conversation. Now, I remember a long time ago when I first read this, this frustrated me. It might frustrate you, but I see it differently now. And we're going to go over that. We're going to read from Genesis, the 26th, verse 26 to verse 32 again. Verses 26 to 32, the Lord said, if I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake. Then Abraham spoke up again. Now that I have been so bold as to speak to you, Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of righteous is five less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city for lack of five people? If I find 45 there, he said, I will not destroy it. Once again, he spoke to him. What if only 40 are found there? He said, for the sake of 40, I will not do it. Then he said, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there? And he answered, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And then Abraham said, now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there? And he said, for the sake of 20, I will not destroy it. Then he said, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak once more. Once more, finally, right? What if only 10 can be found there? And he answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy. And when the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned home. Now listen to this. Abraham, he kept asking, 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. I mean, he just, and when every time I, in the past, when I read this, I was waiting. I was like, I was expecting God, when are you going to say, Abraham, enough already, shut up, right? When is he, I mean, stop it, just stop it, right? But he never does. God never does. God responds with patience, gentleness, kindness, no frustration. No, he doesn't withdraw from it. Just presence. He's there. And you know why? You know, there's a misconception. You know, Abraham anchors his questions. If you think about that, will the judge of all the earth do right? Think about that heavy question. You know, that's not doubt. This is the mistake I made a long time. That's not doubt. You know what that is? That's trust. Because he's anchoring his questions on the character of God. He knows God to be a righteous, loving God. And he's saying, wait, this don't match with this scene. You're going to destroy a whole city. What if there's righteous, loving people who love you there? This don't match with the God that I know. I have some questions, God. Please help me fix this out. And he sorts it out because he leaves afterwards. He realized as God is educating him in this scenario, God knows what he's doing. God is educating him. And he's going 30, 20, 10. No, Abraham realized there's no unrighteous in there. There's none. There's only one person that the Bible said was righteous, was Lot. And he saves him. That's the two angels that go there, right? The two other people are angels. They're going to go there to save him. But this is the thing. When we understand that, when we understand God, you know, we're going to have questions. God, there's so many things I don't understand. But do not be intimidated with asking. God wants to answer your questions. Present them. Come to him. That's the Lord that we have. He wants to build a relationship with you. Right? So remember, faith is not the absence of questions. It's not. It is trust in God's character while asking them. That's it. Let me say this. If you don't trust God's heart, you're not going to pray to him. Maybe one of the reasons you don't pray to God is because you don't trust his heart. Because he's not going to answer my questions. Because you never answered my questions in the past. So why should I bother? Let me tell you, you can trust God. And you could always trust that God has your best in his interest. I'm telling you that. That's a fact. You can trust God's heart. He's an amazing God. Be careful, because if you do not trust his heart, you're going to fall away from having a relationship. Now, let me say this. You may not understand God's hand, but you could always trust his heart. You may not always understand what God is doing. You're not going to always understand his hand, what he's doing. You may not, but you could always know that he has a good heart. And that he has your best interest. That's a fact. You could bet on that. Amen? Amen. That's the God we have. So when you truly understand that, when you truly understand that God loves you and you can approach him boldly with confidence because you have been given permission to that, you know what you do? You start praying for others. So that's the next thing. We need to pray for others. That's a big part of being a Christian. And a lot of people don't do that. And they struggle with that. But we got to be praying for each other. We got to pray. Let me tell you, there's power in prayer. And there's so many people who do not pray. Right? James, the fifth chapter, tells us that the prayer of a righteous person has power. Has power. And it's not because of us. It's because of God. What he does with the prayers. Right? So I want us to look at Ezekiel. I think this is a really good verse here in chapter 22, verse 30. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall. Oh, so Ezekiel is quoting God. So this is Ezekiel quoting God. I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, so I would not have to destroy it, but I found no one. So get this, understand this verse. God is saying, I wanted somebody to stand in the gap between me and my people to pray for them. I wanted somebody to communicate with me on behalf of my people. I looked for someone and found no one. I looked for someone and found no one. No one. This is sobering. Because you know what this means, this verse? You know what this means? It means that someone needed prayer and no one stepped in to pray. That somebody needed prayer. Maybe a healing, maybe a relationship problem, maybe to come to the Lord. That somebody needed intercession to be interceded for. And no one stepped up to the plate. You see, intercession is standing between judgment and mercy. That's what that is. When you intercede for someone, what you're praying is that the mighty God who judges all, that he will have some mercy. Have some mercy. Heal this person. Have some mercy. Turn this person from their wicked way. Have some mercy. That's how important prayer it is. So I like to share a true story of my life. This is me over here. And my younger brother. That's my baby brother. You notice I'm a troublemaker. I'm poking him while they take the picture. Yeah. And that's my sister, Elizabeth. So, you know, when I came to the Lord when I was 16 years of age. And when I came to the Lord, man, I was baptized into Christ. I was excited, and I wanted to share God's word with everybody. You know, I had that early zeal, and I was talking to all my family, and I was, you know, and I was talking to he's my baby brother. He's my little brother, and I would always go to him and always say, hey, you know, Lord loves you, and I would just witness to him, and you know what he would always say. And my wife knows this, he would always say, well, that's good for you, but not for me. Well, that's good for you, but not for me. And every year, I would pray for him. Every year, I would pray to the Lord, please soften his heart. Please, you know, turn his way. Please, Lord. Please, Lord. I love my brother. Please, Lord. And even when I got married to Michelle, we were praying for him. Please, Lord. I mean, for decades. We prayed for my brother Michael, my baby brother. And guess what? One day, at 41 years of age, he said to me, he said, Anthony, I'm ready. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to be baptized into Christ. And I said, yeah. And amen, amen. And I said, what changed? He said, I know that I need him. I know that I need him. So that day, I was honored to baptize my baby brother into Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Yes. I know he's tall. He looks older than me, but, you know, he had the height, but guess what? I got the looks. That's all right. Can't have it all. he's going to watch this recording. So you got that, Michael? Okay. I love you, Michael. I love you. So this is what's the point of this, even this? Delayed does not mean denied. You keep praying. Maybe you have a loved one that's just fall away or never came to the Lord, or there's an illness or whatever. Just keep praying. Keep praying. You have a God that's listening. You keep standing in the gap praying for these people. You keep believing, because we have a God that could do anything. And that is what you have to understand. That God wants to hear. There is power in prayer. Not because of us, but because of God. There's power in prayer. Don't give up. Intercede for the world. Intercede for the United States. Intercede for your people in your job. Intercede for your relatives. Intercede for this church. Amen. And you know why you can intercede? Do you know why? I'm going to tell you why we even have the privilege of interceding for people. It's because Jesus is our intercessor. You see, Abraham, he stopped at 10, but Jesus did not. Jesus wants to save everyone. Every single person. Look at what Romans, the 8th chapter, says. Verse 34. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. You have Christ Jesus interceding for you with God. You see, Abraham pleaded for a city. Jesus, he is pleading for you and you and you and you and you and all of you on the top. Yeah, even you guys all the way back there. Jesus is interceding for you. You see, because again, Abraham pleaded for the guilty, but guess what? Jesus became the reason that the guilty can be saved. Do you understand that? Every time Jesus stands before God on that judgment day, on that judgment day as he's standing there on the right hand of God, and judgment's falling upon us, guess what he says? Whoa, 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 no, 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 no. Don't touch that one. I paid a price for that one. He's mine. Oh, no, 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 no. You see that sister right there? Uh-uh. She's mine. I paid with my blood, and she's mine. Right? That is what he does. That's what God does. He intercedes for every single Christian. He stands before God for you. For you. That's the God we have. A mighty loving God who died, who suffered, so you can talk to God. He died and suffered so you can have a conversation with God. That's an amazing, amazing, amazing God. So remember this, brothers and sisters. You're not tolerated in heaven. You are represented there. You are represented there. You're not tolerated. You are loved. You are loved. So, what is Genesis, the 18th chapter, really all about? It's about a God who drew near, and it's about a man who dared to ask. And the big question today is not, was Abraham bold? No, the question is, will you be? Will you be bold and come to God and have a conversation with him? You know, some of you right now are silent. You probably haven't prayed in a long time. So I want to say this. This is the time. This is the moment. It's not about a coming forward or anything. It's about your heart. Maybe you haven't prayed. Pray right now. In your heart. You may not even have all the... It may be something as simple as, God, I'm here. It's been a long time since I said something to you. I'm here. I don't even understand it all. I'm confused. I'm confused about everything. But Lord, I want to talk to you. I want you to hear me out. I want to do better in our relationship. I want to boldly come to you with confidence and be able to share my life with you. Because I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. You are a God of love. And you have proven that with the cross. You have proven that with the cross. So today, boldly talk to God with confidence because he loves you. God bless you.